And we were, I remember the moment. I remember we were taking off, and I started reading Matthew's chapter 5, I think it was. He starts talking about, if you turn the other cheek, and starts talking about, they actually go a mile with him, go two. And I remember we were taking off, coming back, we were taking off to come back home, come back stateside. And I was reading the book, and then I was reading Matthew's, and I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and I've been in the church forever, as long as I can remember. I've been in the church, but I started reading, and I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened. I can't say I had a out of body moment or in body moment. I can't say there was an angel sitting next to me and he flashed the light and it opened up to me. I can't say that I felt any hot oil. I can't say any of those things. All I know is that there was a moment that it opened up to me. I began to cry. It opened up to me, and I saw Jesus. I'm not saying I saw him fit like standing there. I just saw him. A lot of times we want to see Jesus physically so much, you don't see his heart. You don't see him in the spirit. You don't perceive him. And from then, I can't, I just, I've been seeing it differently. I've read the Gospels a lot of time. I've read the Bible, different scriptures in the Bible, but it's just been opened up to me. It's just opened up thing. So I enjoy reading the Gospels. I enjoy reading about Jesus. I enjoy reading to see who Jesus is and to see who I am in him and who he is in me. When it becomes a joy, and living by the book class, and those who are in Church Unusual, you remember this other class, but when it becomes a joy to do that, that's when God begins to use you and start showing you some things that are special. If you're just kind of doing it just because that's what you're supposed to do, well, nobody wants anybody to love them because they're supposed to, right? Nobody don't want they're supposed to love. Well, I'm loving you because I love you, but I love you because I got to love you. Nobody don't want that. I want your will, right? I want you to do it because you want to do it from your own heart. And so, but it takes a development to get there. We learn how to do it. It starts off like that. I mean, it starts off just having to do things. When you're younger, you got to force you to go take a bath, force you to put deodorant on, force you to do certain things. When you're younger, you just want to get up and go play. But I force you to do that. You don't like doing it. You don't want to do it. But I force you to do it. And I condition your mind on why you should do that. And so when you're older, you won't depart. You get it? When you're older, you won't depart from it. So I just falling, forgive the cliche, and I know the song is all our favorite song, but falling in love with Jesus is an amazing thing. It's just, you can't get enough of it. If you get to a point where you get enough, you ain't in love yet. If you get to the point to where you're tired of hearing that, then you're not there yet. You got a little bit more conditioning. Everybody say conditioning. I'm going to say it again, conditioning. Remember I said in this class last week, and I'll say it again so everybody can hear it. When you become conditioned, things are no longer conditional to you. So when you become conditioned, things are no longer conditional. You have control over the conditions. You get it? That means everything in life, whether your life, your money, your health, family, anything that's going on, anything that tries to come against you, you have control over the conditions because you are conditioned. You become conditioned. You're in a state of being conditioned. You're conditioned to who you are in Christ. So James chapter 1, and we'll do a little reading. And I know everybody likes to jump to verse 22, and that's what we're going to get to. But let me do a little reading. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Now remember, patience has nothing to do, and I want to say this to make it important, patience has nothing to do with waiting, more to do with being consistent in every moment. If you look up the word patience, there's a connotation of waiting, but it doesn't mean waiting. When you're patient, that doesn't mean you can wait good. No, that means you're consistent. That means no matter what happens, the patience means you're even keel no matter what. You stay the same no matter what. Paul said, when I'm abound and when I'm abased, I stay the same no matter what. It's patience. Let patience have a perfect work. One of the verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That's the right version. Driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So, I mean, if you're double-minded, you ain't getting nothing. If you wavering, you ain't get nothing. You don't get an A for effort. You know what I'm saying? Well, I tried, and trying ain't good enough. You either try something or you do something. That's somebody told me one day, well, I'm going to try. Stop trying and do it. Anytime somebody tell you, I'm going to try to make it on time, they probably going to be late. They've already set themselves up. Either I am. Everybody say, I am. Either I am or I'm going to try. You get it? So either I'm going to be there. It's just, don't stop trying. Do it. Verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive how many things? Anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many ways?
All.
How many ways they're unstable in?
All.
So that means you're double-minded. If you have another mind other than the mind of Christ, other than the mind that you should have, you will be unstable in everything that you do. Do not look for stability anywhere because you got two minds. They also say anything two-headed is a freak. You can't have two heads. All right? So a double-minded man is unstable in how many ways?
All.
How many of them?
All.
No, just some of them, right? No, all of them. Every way that a double-minded man tries to act in will be unstable. You ever had some unstable moments in your life? You ever had some things in your life that seemed unstable that you want to stabilize? Get one mind on it. Everybody say one mind.
One mind.
Come on, say one mind.
One mind.
Come on, say one mind.
One mind.
Get one mind on it. Stop taking everybody else's mind. Find out what the mind of Christ is on it. Philippians 2:5, I ain't got no time to let this mind be used also in Christ Jesus. Find that mind. So when you're studying this word, I'm looking for that mind. All right, I'm going to show you something. Apostle said something in church. I said, it changed my life. It changed my studying. It changed the way I function according to the word and who was supposed to be and what was supposed to be doing. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass. And the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I just want to do some reading. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Uh-oh. Neither tempted he any man. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. I'm going to read it again. Let no man, and I'm seeing something. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Y'all see that? Let no man, when he's tempted, say I'm tempted of God. But then the next line says what? What that got to do with me being tempted, though? What does that say? God cannot be tempted. What that got to do with that first part? Come on, y'all catching this? See, this is what I want to do. I've been talking to some of the young guys that work with me. And when I talk to them, I ask them something, and I put the scripture for them. And I say, "You catch that? You catch it? You got the revelation? Tell me the revelation. Tell me the revelation. We're training in revelation, right? Tell me the revelation." Well, that first line said, "That any man tempted, don't let him say he tempted a God." For the next line says, "For God cannot be tempted with him." What that got to do with me, though? Uh-oh. Okay, there we go. Come on, that's a revelation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got to catch that. So we done read that scripture before, but you don't catch it. You think God's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And you somebody else. We have such a separate mindset. We don't really have a covenant mindset. We're westernized. We've been contracted. We do all these different things, and we don't have a covenant mindset. As he is, so are we in this world. I'm him and he me. Uh-oh. I didn't say it. He said it. It's in his word. We can catch this. Because God can't be tempted with evil. Neither he tempted any man. Verse 14, let every man that is tempted, when he has drawn away his own lust and enticed, then when the lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brethren. Verse 17, you read, ready, read. No variableness and no shadow of turning. Ain't it gonna change? It ain't gonna change. Every good gift coming from above, ain't no maybe, ain't no might. It is what it is. It's a good gift from above. No variableness or shadow of turning, all right? Verse 18. Of his own will he begot us. Of his own will he begot. No, I'm gonna say it right. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Do y'all get what that's saying? Look at it. We'll breathe a little bit. Look at it. Of his own will, he birthed us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, you read. Ready, read. Deceiving who? Deceiving who? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Okay. I just want to make sure we read it together. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We're talking about a mirror. Everybody say mirror.
Mirror.
Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So here we go now. If you're not doing the word, you're just hearing it, but you're not doing the word. We're going to get a little deep in a minute. But you're not doing the word. I heard this before, right? If you're not doing the word, then you're like you're looking in the mirror. All y'all looked in the mirror today, huh? Some of y'all look more than once and twice and three times and 10 times, right? We double check. We pass back by the mirror, right? We looked in the mirror this morning, right? But then when you got ready for class, you look in the mirror again, huh? Because we don't know what changed between the last time and this time, right? But we're looking in the mirror trying to see what we look like to make sure ain't nothing wrong with us. So it's like you're a hearer but not a doer. It's like you're looking in that, but you forgot what you look like. No, not forgot what you were wearing. You forgot what you look like. Can you imagine that? Everybody in here has an idea of what they look like. Right? We look in the mirror every. How often we look in the mirror?
Every day.
How often we look? Every day. You can't remember a day you left your house or left anywhere without looking in the mirror. Even if you're staying around the house all day, you was in the mirror brushing your teeth. You can't remember a day since you've been a little kid that you did not look in the mirror. How consistent is that? How consistent is that? We miss some prayer days, but how consistent is that? We miss some study days, but how consistent is that?
Yeah.
But what happens is, so you know how you look so well because you've been looking for so long. And you've been so consistent. Everybody say consistent.
Consistent.
Come on, say it again. Consistent.
Consistent.
You've been so consistent with the looking into the mirror that you know how you look. Because you do it every day. You do it with clockwork. Nobody tells you, you need to go look in the mirror. No, you do it clockwork. Because you're concerned about how you look. But you be a hearer and not a doer. You're like somebody that's been doing that for so many years. And then you leave here and forgot what you look like. Beholding yourself in a glass and forget what man of man you are. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you see that? If you look into the perfect law of liberty, what's the perfect law of liberty? How do you look into the perfect law of liberty? Anybody know? How do you look into the perfect law of liberty? Y'all have no idea? Y'all have no clue how to look into the perfect law of liberty? Huh? The word. Yeah. Don't guess. Don't second guess. I think it's the word, but he might be tricking me. No. No, it's the word. Look into the perfect law of liberty. But I found some out. Apostle said something in church yesterday. He was reading the scripture. He started talking about beholding the glass and looking into the perfect law of liberty. And it's to the point where he started explaining that you're looking into this word to not see, and I'm going to tell you what something the Lord told me, to not see, to not just get instructions, but to get an identity. Listen to me, a mirror. Everybody say a mirror. What do you use a mirror for? To see what you look like, huh? To see what you look like, to see what you look like, see what you look like. So you're looking into the glass. But anytime you look into this glass, the perfect law of liberty, and you go away, you forget what man you were, you didn't look, you didn't really look. All right, stick with me. So now you look into this mirror, and the Lord told me something. I'm standing in the back, right in the back. I wasn't sitting in front. I'm standing in the back. And the Lord said, this Bible is not just to give you instructions on what to do. It's to give you instructions of what to who. It don't seem like it makes sense, huh? Don't seem like it. That's how God talks to you sometimes. So we want God to talk in regular English and subject and verb agreement, and we missing him all day long. He said the word is not just to tell you what to do. It's to tell you what to who. And so I was like, all right, God, what you saying? I caught him. Right? I said, what you saying? I'm not just trying to show you things that you should be doing. I'm trying to show you who you should be doing, who you should be doing things like, who you should be. See, Jesus didn't just do things for people. Jesus was something to people. And it was his being that made the blind eyes open. It wasn't a special moment of the day or any special thing that was going on. It was who he was that manifested the miracles that came from him. So it's not just showing me what to do, but it's showing me who. Matter of fact, it's showing me more of who I am than what I do. See, doing something, just getting something done is a product of what's already on the inside of you. If you know who you are on the inside and get a revelation of who God is in you already, then you won't have to worry about the doing because it'll come as first nature. Everybody say first nature. It'll come as first nature when you begin to look into this perfect law of liberty to see who you are and not just what you see. We've been doing stuff for years. Yeah. We've been doing church for years. How long have we been giving? We've been giving for years. We've been coming to church on time for years. And we've been praying for years. But why is it that we don't see all these things that Jesus saw? Because somewhere along the line, we're missing identity. So we're looking to see what we got to do. And God said, no, I'm just trying to show you who you are. If you get a grip of who you are, all these things are yours. You'll be the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these because I go into my, that's because you know who you are. You know who you are in me, and I am in you. Are y'all with it? So now it's not, you're not just looking at it. It changed my life. Because now I'm not looking at this, Doug, for just instructions. But I'm looking at this for to see what I look like. To see what I should, to see who I am, to see my identity. I'm looking into the perfect law. Perfect deals with a purpose. I'm looking in the perfect law of liberty, and I can see who I am. If you don't see who you am, then you be trying to do stuff all day long. You try to do stuff all day long. You try to do stuff all day long, and you ain't getting nothing done.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Now listen. Verse 22. Go to verse 22. Read it. Stop, read that again. Stop, read it again. Come on, one more time, read it again. But be ye doers of the word. Well, my church, you just told me not to, I ain't got to do, I need to find out who. Well, that's what they're saying right there. Be ye doers of the word. Come on, say it again.
Be ye doers of the word.
Come on, say it again.
But be ye
doers of the word. Well, what does that mean? How I do the word? How do I do the word then? How do I do the word? What is it? I learned from word of faith with confessing. You confess it and believe it. That's how you work the word. You do the word. God bless all that. Praise God for that. But how do I do the word? What does that mean to do the word? Living according to the word. All right, what does that mean? I got one for you, huh? What is it? The word is Jesus. Oh, you remember that scripture? I ain't got no time to go over that. But the Bible says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, didn't it? Okay, so now, but be ye doers of Jesus. And not a hero only. How many times we done heard stories about Jesus? How many times we heard all this stuff? All right, when the last time you seen somebody spitting some dirt and moving somebody's eyes? Not never. You ain't never seen it before. You ain't never seen it in your life, but we should be seeing it. Shouldn't we be seeing it? He said, the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works than these. The works. Everybody say the works. I'm going to deal with the word and the works tonight. So now, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So you deceive your own. You have a false a perception of yourself. Because you're not doing the word, but you were trying to do the word. But see, you was off. Because you was trying to do these little nitpicky things in the, you thought that when you're talking about the world, you thought it was just talking about this, but it's talking about Jesus. Do y'all get this? John 5:39 says what? Who know it? See, we got to get our Bible game up because we got to get our Bible game up. I'm not trying to tell you to memorize the whole Bible, but you need to know that. As much as I done said in this Living by the Book class, we should know this scripture. What does John 5:39 say? Don't be saying, don't second guess yourself. Now, there's another thing we got to learn. You can't second guess yourself. We ain't got no time. Do it say search the scriptures? No. Search the scriptures. You ought to know it, all right? Because you can't meditate on it if you don't know it. All right, well, so here we go. And you're always going to have your Bible right in front of you. So what John 5:39 say? Come on. And they are they. We got our own version, huh? You have to say that. And they are they which testify. Y'all know that part. Of me. Testify of me. But then he said, but you won't come unto me. Do you get what that's saying? Can I grab it, please? Yes. Search the scriptures. Search them. Go search them. But they testify of me, but you won't come to me that you can be me. So now James 1:22, we've been trying to do just with this. And we hadn't gotten to him. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke over and learn of me, for I'm meek and low at heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You remember that? Remember that scripture? He wasn't lying when he said it. It should be easier than what we're doing, but we're trying to do this without doing this. Are y'all with me? We're trying to do the word without doing Jesus. We're not getting a revelation of him. We're not going to him to see how to be. See, you cannot revelation knowledge is never on the surface. You got to go deeper. Everybody say deeper. Come on, say it again. You got to go deeper. Come on, everybody say you got to go deeper. Then there's a scripture I read in the Bible one day, and it says, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So he said he's going to send us a comforter. The Holy Ghost brings us to a deeper measure of who Jesus is so we can be him. We can be him, and he can be in us. It's God's working in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. But we got to get that. So you really can't do this until you came unto him and got a revelation of him. How long have we been trying to do it? Come on. We're trying to do it, and then we wonder. So now we've turned, so now in the church as a whole, we've turned patience into a waiting doctrine. Because you know there's a waiting doctrine in the church. Then is the first scripture, they that wait upon the Lord. So what? I don't know, so we're not a waiting doctrine. So now it didn't happen straightway, suddenly. All that stuff I was hearing about Jesus, straightway, suddenly, immediately, all that was all with his ministry, right? But somewhere along the line, we lost that in the church. And so now we got a waiting doctrine. Well, you ain't ready yet. God don't want to do that for you right now. You really think God up there saying what he don't want to do for you? Or what he don't want to do through you? God always said, I ain't judging you. I ain't condemning you. I want to use you. But he can't use you if you don't know you're usable. You see, he can't do that if you don't know what's going on. So you're trying to do it. And it's praise the Lord. Like we mean right. But a lot of people mean right, but never get anything right. A lot of people mean right, but never get nothing done. No A for efforts no more. We got to make it happen. You don't get an applause. Almost doesn't count. I almost won, but you lost. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So now you got to be a doer of the word. Be a doer of Jesus. Now make you look deeper now. And make you look deep in his word, don't it? And make you look in his word to see what you look like. Not what you got to accomplish today, but to see what you look like. Now, see, when you find out who you are, then what you do is automatic. It'll be knee-jerk. Now we got to transcend. We got to come up a little higher. But you need to find out who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. And it automatically, look, it's knee-jerk. If I slap you in the eye, it's going to swell. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to write no letter about it. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to confess about it. I slap you in the eye hard enough. It is going to swell. It is just going to do what it's going to do. It's the same knee-jerk. But you got to find out who you are in him. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Because now you're like a person that's beholding yourself in a glass and then forgetting what man of man you were. What the man of man that I am got to do with what I do? Y'all see how we've been missing it? What is doing the word like we supposed it was, got to do it, what man of man I am? It's trying to tell you about your being. Everybody say being.
Being.
Come on, it's trying to tell you about your being. It's trying to tell you about Jesus on the inside of you. When you look into the scripture, you should be looking for Jesus in you and you in him. That's all you should be looking for. So we've been on the surface. We've been patting the surface. It's like dropping seeds on the surface of the ground. It'll never take root. And you'll never get any growth. And the enemy will always be able to come in and steal the seed because they ain't got no depth. Let's dig a little deeper. Everybody say dig a little deeper.
Dig a little deeper.
Come on, say it again. Dig a little deeper.
A little
come on, say it again. Dig a little deeper.
A little
we got to go a little further than where we've been going. We got to get off the top of the ground and get down to where the nutrients at. And down there, where it's buried at. And get down up in there so that the nutrients can hit us. See the water, that we planted by the rivers of the living water. See that water is deep down in there. Although the river is flowing right there, that water is deep down. The rivers get their water from deep down. Up under the bottom, but if you don't go deep, they say the cedar tree. I said this before, y'all might have heard me say it. The cedar tree, the Bible talks about the mighty cedar. They say the cedar tree goes 3 feet deep before it goes 1 feet above ground. So if you see a 9 foot cedar tree, it's about 27 feet down in the ground. Wow. That's a real thing. They ain't no spiritual. No, that's a real thing. Go do your study. That's a real thing. 3 feet for everyone. I wonder why it was three. Trinity. Why 3 feet to everyone?
Yeah. My God.
So you go 3 feet deep before you get 1 feet above the ground. Or 1 foot above the ground in manifestation.
Yeah. My God.
Because you know what you see above the ground is only a product of what's under there.
Right.
Whoa. So what you see on the outside is only a product of what's on the inside already. What you see out here, my Lord told me something about Apostle the day. He said, you know, people used to walk around, they'd be like, they used to do stuff, you try to, shoo, shoo. Because you know that's what he do sometimes, right? He'd, shoo, shoo. And they think the power in there, ain't no power, it's dead as ever. Ain't no power in there. And I get it. Like, sometimes I hear Apostle, and he followed Brother Hagin so much, and he really followed his heart. He wasn't after his hand so much, but he was after his heart. He was after him because he got a revelation. God said, this man can stop. He's been my servant for so many years. He said, he can stop and you can pick up right where he left off at. He said, I've given you the self same anointing. The God spoke to him, man. It's powerful.
Yeah.
And so now there's assurance because God spoke to him. And so now he's following after. So he said, but you need to follow him. You need to follow him so he can teach you. I gave you the anointing, but he got to teach you in the anointing. All right. And so I hear Apostle, and you'll hear it. I don't know if you're familiar with Brother Hagin. You listen to him too much, but I did. I came up on Brother Hagin. And I would listen to him, and sometimes the anointing would come upon Apostle, and he began to sound just like him. You close your eyes, you think it's him.
Right.
It's almost scary
right. How
it'll happen. So I'm not saying that won't happen, but that's a product of, I bet you can't say the power ain't there. A lot of people, shoot, and they hold their hands like it. You know, He hold his hand like he used to hold his two fingers. I used to watch that stuff. Brother Hagin used to hold his two fingers, so Dad started holding his two fingers. So I tried that junk one time. I'm holding my two fingers, and I was like, I ain't got nothing yet. You know what I'm saying? The two fingers. And sometimes those things that happen. I have mannerisms like my father. I walk like him sometimes, talk like him. But the Lord said, listen. He said everybody can see his hand. See the enemy? Oh, watch this. Everybody can see his hand, but not everybody can see his heart. And God said, I put things on the inside because the enemy can't get on the inside to find the plan.
Yes.
My God.
So he can see what your hand's doing.
Yeah.
If it was just out hitting the enemy, he'll figure it out and try to figure out how to stop it. So I put it on the inside. So he said, if you can see his heart, then you can have his hands. Inside. Everybody say inside. So what's going on the inside? So 3 feet deep, 1 foot manifestation.
My God.
Wow. Wow. Well, we look around here and I see this campus and I see all these things God is doing in our eyes in front of us with Apostle. Wow, how deep are the roots?
Yeah.
If we go, come on, if we go 3 feet to 1 foot and all this stuff we seeing on top of the ground,
yeah.
Wow, how deep is the root? See, that's where we're going. That's what we've got to get to. Most people don't want to pay the price. They want it all, but they don't want the process. He's been digging. He's digging right now. He's digging, just digging, trying to get deeper. No more. It's an unending excavation. You know, they excavate when they're digging in the ground. It's unending. You can always dig. Just when you thought you dug enough, you got to dig some more. That's how deep God is. But if you keep on digging and you're digging just for him, he'll use you and manifest you. See, you can't do what you're doing to get something. See, covenant says I just give because. It about well, John 3:16 say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, huh? The whoso believes should not perish, but ever. He didn't say God gave so he can get 1,000 souls. Or a million or a billion souls. No. For God so loved that he gave. You know, God loves us whether we give him our lives or not. He don't stop. That's covenant. Many of us can't say that in our feeble mind, the way that we set up. We have glimmers of that, but we can't really say that consistently. But we're transcending. We're getting up there. Everybody say, we're rising up. Come on, everybody say, we're rising up. See, that'll happen through your condition. You have the condition. You have the condition with Jesus. You have the condition with Jesus. You have the condition with Jesus. Condition yourself with Jesus. No. Condition yourself with Jesus. And you begin to be like him. We get glimmers of greatness here, and we get glimmers of greatness there, but that's because the scripture says what measure you meet is measured unto you, ain't it? Be it unto you according to who faith? Your faith. Right. So we only getting a flash because that's what you got. All for all. You give all, you get all. All for all. You give all, you get all. All for all. You give all, you get all. All for all. You give all, you get all. You totally submit, you get everything that submission holds. The oil. I wasn't even planning on going there. The oil. The Bible, the anointing works like this. The anointing, the Bible says the less is blessed of the better. Then it also says that the oil, that's why the hem of Jesus' garment was so important, because the oil, when they anointed him with oil, when they came to anoint Jesse, when they came to Jesse's house to anoint David, they poured the oil on their head, because the oil flows from the top to the bottom. It always flows from the top to the bottom. Whenever you're anointed, it ain't like what we do now. You know, we do right there. No, I'm going to take this oil and I'm going to pour it on your head until it drip down. Forget your suit. Nobody thinking about your suit. I'm about to anoint you. You know what this means? Then I'm about to anoint you with oil. So I'm going to pour this on your head. And it flows. Just gravity. Just flows from the top to the bottom. Submission says that I submit, like I get under. Like a submarine, you know, submarine, like I get under. So if I can submit myself, that's why submitting to anointing is important. People have a submission problem, so they never get anointed. They see the anointing, and they may get a little bit on their hand, but they don't get anointed. Because they have a submission problem. Now imagine the oil being poured down onto somebody and it's dripping down to you, but you're not fully submitted, so only your shoulder get it. Huh? Now, if I ask you right now if you want it all, you would just say, yeah. You say, I'm under that. But sometimes we don't function like that. Well, most of the time we don't function like that. We give a little bit. Here, you can have my arm, Jesus. You can have my leg today. Right? But I don't want to totally submit. There's such thing as half submission. It don't exist. High, low. Left, right. Ain't no halfway left. No, you either left or you're right. You submitted or you're a renegade. Right? And the anointing comes through submission. But you've got to get all the way under to receive the anointing. I see a lot of guys try to connect here to the apostle and they want the anointing, but they don't want to submit. So there you go then. It won't happen for you. Because you will not. Everybody say submit. Come on, say it again. Submit. So now, if you don't submit yourself to Jesus and submit yourself to his ways and submit yourself to his everything and kill those old raggedy, stank, non-working ways that we got. Y'all know we got them. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen and a raised hand? If you believe, can I get an amen and a raised hand? We all got them old stank, raggedy ways. I don't know why we're not picking up from mama, daddy, the old church, new church. Just, it might have just been me. I didn't hurt or whatever. I don't know what it is, but we got to figure out what it is and kill that. Crucify that so that we can be like him. You can't be like him until you die. Uh, um, Hear what not do, behold the natural face in the glass, behold himself in the gorgeous way, and straightway forget it, straightway, immediately forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a, what's that next line? What's the next line? Y'all don't know where I'm at? Y'all don't know where I'm at? Y'all don't see it? Don't answer me. Do you see it or do you not see it? All right, read the line then. What's the next line? But a doer of the what? But a doer of the what? But a doer of the what? The work. Now you think you went to work today, huh? You thought you went to work today, huh? You thought you went to work. I got to go to work tomorrow. It ain't work. You thought you went to work, huh? You thought work the word. You thought whatever, like we had ideas in word of faith and what work in the word is. No. Not a forgetful hearer. Not a forgetful hearer. Are you ready? Are y'all ready? Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What work is that? The work of the cross. The work of Jesus. Doer of the work. See, see the revelation knowledge comes. You had to dig and you had to pay attention. You had to ponder those words. See, you thought you knew these scriptures, didn't you? You thought you knew them. You had them down pat, huh? So I'm gonna do this word. You couldn't even answer me how to do it though, because you didn't know what you was doing. But not a forgetful hearer, because we done heard the story about the cross. And we done heard the stories about Jesus, right? We've been hearing them for years, huh? But we just could never make none of them happen because we thought that was something else. We thought Jesus was just somebody else, not us. So we done heard it already. We done heard it already, right? Not a forgetful hearer, though. But a doer of the work. The next line say that man going to be blessed. How do you say the next line? What the next part say? Huh? What? Hold on. Deed. What is a deed? That's like a task. Like it's something that you're doing. Oh, but hold on. See, God don't talk like you talk. But you got to catch him. Everybody say catch him. He don't talk like you talk. Stop reading these scriptures like you an English major. You better get the Holy Spirit to breathe on these scriptures to say what it's saying. But be a doer of the work. He shall be blessed in his deed. What he's saying? If you do it, then you can do it. If you do the work, then you can do it. If you can do the work, if you do the work, then you'll be blessed in your doing.
My God.
Work of the cross. Everybody say work of the cross. Well, what's the work of the cross then? What is this? That I crucify, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Talking about he was made conformable even unto death. It said Jesus was obedient unto death. I only do what my Father tells me to do. I ain't got no other choice. I ain't got no other thing to do. This is all that I have to do. Can we say that today? Don't answer me. Do the work. Don't just hear about the work. We do it every Easter. We tell a story, people start crying in church. No, do the work. Die. What you've been living towards ain't working. Right. It ain't making no miracles. Die. Be ye a doer of the word. Do Jesus. Do Jesus. You see it? Come on, do y'all see it? Is this a little too deep? No, y'all get it, right? It's not a little too deep, right? We getting it, right? Do Jesus. Don't just do about Jesus. Do Jesus. Listen, y'all need to go study these gospels and go read these gospels up and down, left and right, and start seeing what you look like. Do Jesus. Everybody say do Jesus.
Do Jesus.
Come on, do Jesus.
Do Jesus.
Come on, I got to be a doer of Jesus. Come on.
Doer.
A doer of Jesus. Then you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of the cross. You got to die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That statement makes no sense. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. What are you saying, Paul? What are you saying? Yet not I, but Christ. Christ is where? Whoa. Do you get it now? Does it make sense? Do Jesus. Christ live within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life that I now live in the... Come on, come on, come on, come on. Tap your hand, come on. Rather I now live in the flesh, I live it how? By the faith of the Son of God, who is who? Jesus the Christ, right, right? What, how does it say, how does it describe that after that? Who loved me. That's do the work. Come on, do the work. Come on, do the work. Say it.
Do the work.
Do the work. Don't just hear about the work. Do the work. When you dig deep enough to into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom. When you dig deep, this word should be freeing us. It frees us from this slavery of this old world into the liberty of the risen Son. Do y'all get it? See, if you liberty. Everybody say liberty. Liberty. There's another word for liberty. There's a word freedom. There's another word for freedom. We celebrate it on the 4th of July. What they call it? What kind of day? Huh? Huh? What kind of day it is? Independence. So freedom. So we thought just free day, like freedom day, right? And we thought it was talking about independence from whatever that was in history, right? But independence, I was talking the other night, and Lord showed me something. He said, independence. He said, independence. He said, independence. He said, independence. Everybody say independence. Independence. Now say it in two words, because there's two words that's connected together. There's in and there's. There's in and there's. So it's in. Everybody say in. And then dependence. Come on, everybody say in. Come on, and dependence. Come on, say it again. In and dependence. All right, in dependence. Follow the motion, because you got to see. Come on, come on. Independence. Come on, do it. Do it with your hands. That stuff, it makes muscle memory. Do it. Independence. No. Not, don't do this. Don't do this. I want to come on right here. In. Come on. No. I want it. All right here. Independence. Independence. Come on. Independence. So when I become independent, I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm no longer dependent. I'm not out dependent. I'm independent. I'm dependent on what's on the greater is he that is on the end. Come on. Christ liveth in you.
Yeah.
I'm independent, so I'm free. Anytime that you have to depend on anything outside of your temple. Well, where is the kingdom of God? Some say, Lord here and Lord there. No, the kingdom of God is. Come on, y'all. Come on. You're walking around with it. We're going from just knowing that God, and this is a powerful thing. We're going from just knowing that God is with us to knowing that God is in us.
Amen.
He in you. So when he's in you, that means he's with you. You know, you can kind of have a mindset that he's with you, but he's not in you. But you can't say he's in you and not with you. Come on, y'all catching it. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That is in you than he that's in the world. That is in you. You have overcome them, little children.
Yes, sir.
You have overcome them, little children. Because greater is he. There's independence. Everybody say independence.
Yes.
Come on, say in.
Yes.
Dependent.
Yes.
I am.
I am.
Oh, God, I am. Say I am.
I
Come
am.
On, say I am.
I am.
Y'all, that's enough right there. We can stop right there. We can go home right now with just I am. I am is enough. But then I am independent. I'm dependent. Anytime, listen to me. How many, we didn't depend on other people before, huh?
Yeah.
How many times you expect somebody to do something and they didn't do it?
Right.
How many times you expect some money to come through and it didn't come through?
Yeah.
Right? How many times you expect somebody to say something to you and it didn't say nothing to you? Right?
Right.
Come on, we can go. We all of us in this room, if we make a list and add it all together, the list will wrap around the world three times. All right? Just up in the room. We can think about all the times we've been let down, out of depending.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, independence. It's when you're free.
Yeah.
When you depend on what's inside, it's automatic freedom. And then when you depend on what's inside, then you begin to function from the dependence on the inside, and it makes everything outside change. So you know that praying that you did in the Holy Ghost? Yeah, he trained you in independence. Trying to make you independent. I don't know what you was looking for, but he's showing you more Jesus. I don't know what you were trying to find. I don't know what question. Stop asking those questions that you ask. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Don't just think you're talking about going to heaven. Yeah. It's talking about coming to the Father. No man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to be like the Father. No man cometh to him. Like become, cometh is another become. Nobody comes like the Father. Nobody that comes like that but by me.
My God.
We asking all these questions. Well, God, what? The scripture says, many men lack wisdom. You know, it says, if you abide in me, there's nothing in, right? John 15:7, you abide in me and my words abide in you, then what you can do? Now, we thought we was talking about, well, ooh, I want that car. Ooh, Lord, I want this mission. Ooh, Lord, I want this. Y'all ain't tell me before. Why y'all give me no time before? I don't know. Y'all got to give me 5 minutes, 4 minutes. I'm about to finish my statement now. In you, and you in him, and he in you. Then it says what? You ask what you, and it shall be done. You thought it was for something else. No. Your will done changed. So now your will and his will are going to be the same will. Because he and you and you and him. He said it another time. He said, I'm in my Father and my Father is in me. He's trying to show us, y'all. He's trying to show us, but we got to pay attention. Got to pay attention. Amen.